Jesus Christ is the King of the universe. If you subscribe to the multiverse, he's also the King of the multiverse. He's the King of everything, King of all creation. Anything that is, he's the King of it. And when Jesus comes as King, he sometimes comes, sometimes the scripture paints him, and it's intimidating, right? I mean, he's got all these angels. Sometimes he's riding on a horse. There's lightning, there's thunder, there's fire. Swords are coming out of his mouth. I mean, it's epic, and it can be a little intimidating as we've been going through these last several weeks. What I keep coming back to, he's given us the question for the final exam. He wants us to be the sheep. He wants to count us in his flock. We pray that every Sunday at Mass, that we may be counted among your flock. This is the Lord's deepest desire as well. And again, before we go on, like, oh golly, it seems like a pretty harsh punishment. They go off to eternal damnation. Look, these are people. It's not so much they didn't treat other people like Jesus. They didn't even treat other people like other people. Like, you saw these naked people and didn't clothe them, and you saw hungry people and didn't feed them, and you saw sick people and didn't tend to them. You saw strangers and you didn't greet them. They just didn't do anything. These people are like total self, all about themselves. So we don't want to be too, like, we don't feel too bad for them. But then we also don't want to feel too like we're like, that's me. That's not the point. I think that the point isn't so much if we get to this passage, and which, you know, is kind of one that we know well, and we say, oh good, now I have a whole nother list of things that I have to do, right? I had the Ten Commandments, and now I'm adding on to that. I got to clothe naked people and feed hungry people and visit imprisoned people. Well, it's not about a list. It's not about doing things. Because before we get to the doing, there was something really key that this word came up again and again and again in this reading, and that was seeing. Lord, when did we see you? Or when did we not see you? The latter group, they never even saw him. They couldn't minister to him because they didn't see him. They weren't even looking for him. Whereas the first group, they saw him everywhere without even trying. Well, how is that? How is it that this one group doesn't see him at all and the other group sees him everywhere? Well, I think this is the characteristic of deep, deep friendship. I'm talking like profound friendship. When somebody's in love, they see hints of their lover everywhere. And everything they do is somehow goes back to the beloved. And when we know Jesus in that way, we see him everywhere. And we see him in other people. And we want to serve him in other people. And we just want to serve him. We see the goodness in other people. We see the goodness in serving. We see everything that the Lord is talking about. But it begins with that relationship. Remember, we've been going through like parable after parable after parable, and the point isn't like, oh, well, now he's king, now he's shepherd, now he's... It's kind of layering all these things on, yes, he's king, yes, he's master, yes, he's shepherd, yes, he's all these things. But remember what he said a couple of weeks ago, and I think maybe this is the most profound, probably the most unexpected, but maybe the most important. He called himself the bridegroom. Yeah, he's the king. He's the king of the entire universe. But he's also the bridegroom. And he's wants us, you, me, to be his bride. Don't get mixed up with, you know, gender roles and these sorts of things. The idea is like this profoundly intimate relationship that you only share with this one other person. That's what he wants with you. That's what he wants with me. That's what he had with the saints. And this is why when we read the stories of the saints and all the stuff that they accomplished, all the stuff that they did, it seems almost like they weren't trying. Because they weren't trying to do stuff. They were just in love with someone, and that painted the picture of everything that they saw and everything that they enacted. Jesus was so close to them that he was so real to them that he was real in every single person that they encountered. That's what Jesus wants. That's what Jesus wants for you and for me. Jesus is loving you so much right now. He wants you to know how much he loves you. And all the readings are getting at that. If we're hearing them and somehow not hearing Jesus saying, I love you so much that I want you to be in my kingdom, I want you to be at my table and my household, at my wedding feast, then we're not hearing the totality of what the scripture is saying. So we want to ask the Lord today in this way to open up our hearts to see him with the eye of our heart. And I think it starts in a real simple, practical sort of way. Like, what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Do you say good morning to Jesus? If we don't see Jesus right there, right with us, every moment of the day, from the beginning of the day until the end of the day, when we say goodnight to Jesus, then how are we going to see him anywhere else? How are we going to see him in the thing that looks like a piece of bread on the altar that we come up and receive? He's wooing us at every single moment. And most of us have barely even tapped into the presence that he wants to affect in our life and what he wants to do in our hearts. And I think it really does start with something that simple. Good morning, Jesus. The very name of Jesus, the saints will often talk about this, the very name of Jesus contains his presence. How many times say the name of Jesus in a moment of temptation, the temptation goes away. Say the name of Jesus in the time of frustration or desolation, and some consolation returns. St. Francis of Assisi, when he would say the name of Jesus, he would lick his lips. So he just said, the name of Jesus is so sweet. That's something that only lovers would say. And this is what the saints were. The saints were lovers of Jesus. They lived their whole life in love with him. And there's nothing more practical than that, falling head and heels madly in love with Jesus. And so as we enter into this feast, as we conclude our liturgical year, we enter into Advent, the new church year coming up, the Lord is saying to us right now, I think he's saying to each and every single one of us, no matter where we are in our spiritual life, whether we just stepped foot in the church today and we haven't been here for months, or whether we're going to daily mass, whether we pray every day, whether we forget to pray, wherever we're at right now, Jesus is saying, I got something new. I got something new for you this year. Are you ready for it? And that newness is a newness of love, because in a relationship, there's always something new. That's the beautiful thing. I see people who are newly married out there. I see people who are oldly married out there. And there's always something new. And the Lord should continue to surprise us until the day of our death, if we're walking with him and asking him and expecting it. And so as we conclude, and you know, these readings, sometimes they're scary, and sometimes we can think of our own death and be afraid of those sorts of things. And I want us to remember that if we're walking with Jesus, there's nothing to fear in his coming. There's nothing to fear in meeting him, and there's nothing to fear when we die. We've been praying that beautiful prayer during the month of November, and I think we're just going to keep praying it for a while because it's just been so good, and I've been able to walk with so many people who are dying and just say, hey, the parish is praying for you. We're praying for you. And what a consolation that has been for them. And I say to everyone I'm walking with as they're preparing for death, I say, when you see Jesus, just run to him. Just say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, have mercy. Because at that moment, that's the only thing that even matters. So as we enter into this Eucharist, as I hold up the host, it looks like a piece of bread, but we know, we see it with the truth that it is Jesus. And we just whisper in our hearts, Jesus, I love you. Just as we greet him in the morning, just as we say goodnight to him before we go to bed, and just as we try to see him in every person around us.